Welcome to Digging Up Ag Podcast. Through sharing research-based information from the University of Kentucky, our goal is to help you successfully enrich your farming enterprise while cultivating knowledge and expertise in agriculture. Now, here's your host.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Huber, the University of Kentucky Cooperative Extension for Agriculture and Natural Resources in Allen County. Welcome to Digging Up Ag Podcast. I'm here with Adam Estes. He is the Agriculture and Natural Resources Extension Agent in Hart County. Adam, how are you doing this morning, man?
Great, Mr. Huber. How are you?
Oh, can't complain. Can't complain. It's a beautiful day outside.
Oh, man, it's gorgeous today.
It is. It is. It's a. We need to be outside doing some stuff instead of sitting in here recording this podcast.
Yeah, we picked a bad time to do this.
We did. We could have done it like a day or two ago when it was raining, but you know.
You know, I had a guy ask me the other day. He needed a pesticide. His pesticide card renewed. And I said, "Well, when you want to do it?" And he said, "Pick a day when it's raining."
Right.
Yeah. So that's true. That's what we got to shoot for.
That's right. It's April the 18th. And our ag folks are up and at it now. We got all of our row crop guys they're in the fields, they're spraying the fields, they're planting early crop. It's just a good time to be out and about. We got all of our cattle guys with pasture renovations and pasture management and cattle management, all that kind of stuff. Just a lot of different stuff going on during the spring. Everybody's kind of, looking forward to hay season. It will be right around the corner here before long. I know you mentioned earlier that some guys had already cut some ryegrass. So a lot of stuff going and happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had a lot of, over the past few days, there's been a lot of rye and ryegrass put up around here. And we've had a fair amount of corn and soybeans put in the ground, and probably more.
Yep.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say we've got more soybeans in the ground in Hart County than we do corn right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. We've got a few people that get out there pretty early with beans and saw several acres of that in the ground. So.
Yeah. They start, it seems like every year it kind of starts earlier and earlier.
No, so, yeah, I agree.
But, speaking of hay, they put out, of course, the 2022 ag census is now available for county data. And actually Hart County is the top county in the state for hay production. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm not sure. I think it's been that way for a few years. So the last few times, I believe, there's just a lot of forage put up in the county.
Right.
We've got I'll brag on some of our producers. We've got some really, really good hay producers in the county.
Right.
That move a lot of hay.
Yeah.
Well, several areas around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it obviously shows in the numbers here. And just in our kind of Mammoth Cave area in general is really good ag production all across the board. Allen County here where I'm at is the top cattle producing county in the state. We used to be the number one vegetable producing state, but we got passed up by Laurel County, which I thought was kind of odd. Laurel County is number one in that now. We're number three, I think, right behind Todd County, I believe, is number two. Barron County is number one in dairy production. And then Warren County is number one in sheep and goats. So, and then also Warren County is number one in fruits and berries. So
I'm kind of shocked they're number one in sheep and goat.
Yep.
I figured that would be more Eastern Kentucky.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I would have thought that as well. Of course, out there, that's kind of, the main livestock that they can, utilize just because of the lay of the land and that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. It says, Warren County is top in sheep and goat production. So pretty good agriculture, area here, right where we're at.
Now you mentioned Todd County being, one of the leaders there in vegetable production. Is that, which market is that out there? Is that Fairview?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Of course, you've got a market in Hart County.
Yeah. They actually started up Well, the first regular sale was this week. On I think it was the 15th. I went out there that Monday, and it was, of course, a lot of potted plants. Wasn't really any. The only thing they had out there that I can recall, they did have some strawberries that they were selling. So,
Okay,
yeah.
sure. Yeah, good deal. Yeah, they yeah, it I was kind of bummed to see Alan kind of get passed up in the vegetable production because we got so many good growers around here, you know, with our Mennonite community and whatnot. I've been to Laurel County, which that's, you know, kind of more eastern Kentucky, not eastern Kentucky, but getting toward eastern Kentucky. And I wouldn't have thought that Laurel County would have had that kind of production, but I guess
I
they
didn't
do.
either. That's London, right?
That's London, yep. Home of Reed Shepherd.
That's right.
That's right. That's our boy. But
Speaking of UK basketball, we got a new coach, it
we
looks
do.
like.
We do. We do. I'm kind of, at first, I was kind of really iffy and didn't really like the hire. But after the press conference last week, just kind of hearing, you know, what, of course, I know, you know, he played at Kentucky and won the 96 championship and all that stuff. But I just wasn't too high on that. But after, you know, the press conference and all that stuff, I think he won me over. I'm more concerned about recruiting than I am his coaching ability. I think he's going to be an excellent coach. I just hope we can get some good players,
Right.
which we've had for the past 15 years, the best, you know, recruiter in college basketball. So
That's
it's gonna be
true.
hard to pass him up as far as that goes. But we'll see what happens this winter. See, I think we can do good. As long as we beat Arkansas and in Louisville, I think that's all that matters.
I got you.
But we do have a few things that we do need to talk about as far as some programs and some upcoming things that the extension is putting on, a lot of different stuff, more field day type stuff. You know, of course, we have most of our, you know, classroom type programs during the winter months. But now we're getting into a more field day type of things. And I guess the first one I've got wrote here is the irrigation workshop. That's going to
Right.
be on April the 23rd and the 30th. I know that you mentioned that you were going to go to the one in the th on the 30th in you say it was in Etown or
LaRue County, Hodgeman.
LaRue County, yeah. And basically, you know, that is a program, you know, for it's based for beginning farmers, but if you've got some experience, obviously, they're not gonna tell you can't come.
Right.
But it's basically just irrigation basics. It's, you know, for like drip irrigation for like vegetables, that kind of stuff. Also, you know, with your in high tunnels, they're gonna talk about some different orchard irrigation techniques and that kind of stuff. You do have to pre-register for this event, or would, like I say, there's a couple different ones that you can go to. The one is at the UK Research Farm. That one's the one that's on April the 23rd. I guess that one's in Lexington. And then the one that you're going to on the 30th is Hinton's Orchard, in, like I say, in LaRue County. So
That's
that'll
right.
be there from 10 a.m. to 12 on the 30th, and then from 1 to 3 on the 23rd. Is LaRue County, are they on Central Time?
No, they'll be on Eastern time. So that's
So,
10, that'll be 10 a.m. Eastern time.
okay. And the one, of course, in Lexington is Eastern Time as well. So, but yeah, that'll be a good program to go to if you're interested in learning more about, you know, irrigation and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you could probably, I guess if you wanted to register for that, I haven't looked at it, but it's probably, I know the Horticulture Council has they have a Facebook page, right? And I know they've got a website, Kentucky Horticulture Council. So you could kind of look that up and there should be a link on there to register with. Otherwise, call the office and we'll help you get that done or provide you with information where you can.
Right. Yeah, I like I said, I may go to that just because, of course, you know, we use irrigation with our mums. Of course, it's not the same as vegetables, but it is the same because it's, you know, it's the same concept.
Right.
So, you know, it's always good to go and learn new things, especially, you know, even if you have been doing things for, you know, a while and you've got experience, you know, you can always learn something, new techniques or new forms of doing things. So that's that'd be good. That'd be good workshop to go to.
I agree. Excited about it.
We also have a wheat field day. I've been to that field day. It's always in Princeton, or it always has been whenever I've been to it. And this year it is on May the 14th. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good field day to go to. Of course, you know, most of our Western Kentucky counties are going to be, you know, if you live in Western Kentucky and, as far as our agents as well, you know, most of those folks are more involved with that just because there's more, obviously more row crops in Western Kentucky. But that is a good program, field day as well. They usually have, so like the topics this year that they're going to talk about, it looks like a whole, they got a really good slate of speakers. Looks like the evolution of carbon markets, which that's Dr. Jordan Shockley. He's really big into the carbon market stuff. He does a really good job talking about that. Wheat diseases with Carl Bradley. Wheat breeding with Dr. Dave Van Sanford. I'm not sure if I've met him or not.
I don't think I have.
I have not. I don't think so. And then fertilization of wheat, Dr. Edwin Ritchie. I like Dr. Ritchie. He's a good guy. Residual herbicide timing for ryegrass control in wheat, Dr. Travis Leglider. Let's see here. International, domestic, and local trends that inform wheat market decisions, Dr. Grant Gardner. He's one of our new ag econ specialists. He's hit the ground running, doing a lot of good programs. I heard him speak a few times on different topics. I think he's been here probably a year or so. So he's pretty new, pretty good guy. And also there will be a wheat variety trial walkthrough. And that will be Bill Bruning. Not sure who that is either. I haven't met him. But that's kind of what the slate speakers is and kind of what you can expect. And that is at the UK Princeton Farm. The address is 1205 Hopkinsville Street. Of course, like I said, that is in Princeton, and it is from 9 to noon Central
Yeah,
Time.
and
So,
also want to mention that if you are a certified crop advisor and also you know, a certified applicator, commercial applicator, you can get CEU credits for coming to that. Looks like for CCAs, looks like you'll get an hour for pest management, half hour for crop management, and a half hour for professional development. And then looks like for pesticides, you get for category 1A, and in category 10, you'll get a CEU for each of those. So, good opportunity if you need some hours. It's during a busy time. I know that for a lot of people, but it is a good field day.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I've been to it a couple times. It's really good information. We don't have a whole lot of wheat around here in Allen County. We do have some. We've got, I don't know, probably 3 or 4,000 acres, maybe more than that, maybe five, which is quite a bit, but not a ton, considering, you know, our Western Kentucky counties. But yeah, it's you know, if you are a wheat farmer, definitely would recommend going to it and checking it out. And like I said, you get, like he said, you know, Adam said, CCA and pesticide credits. Everybody always is asking how to get, you know, commercial pesticide hours, and so this would be a good way to get those. There's another the next thing, I guess, would be the crop scouting school. Do you want to talk about that? I think that's in Princeton as well, isn't it?
Yeah, same place, Princeton, the research station out there. It's on May 21st. That'd be a week following the wheat field day. It's from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And those times on the wheat field day and the crop scouting, that is Central Time. They do go on Central Time. So anyway, that's this workshop's kind of ideal for anybody that are, is to say, interns, new and experienced producers, and then just a refresher for anybody else that does crop scouting frequently. But they're going to go over crop and so corn, I'm sorry, corn and soybean diseases and growth staging, scouting for insect pests, corn and beans, weed identification, and then soil nutrients and their influence on crop growth. There is a pre-registration required, and it closes on May 17th. There is a fee of $105 to register for that event. Like I said, you can probably find that on, I know Kentucky Small Grain Growers Association has a website. You could probably find that registration link. Otherwise, like I mentioned earlier, you could always call us and we could help you with that if you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't been to that one. I've always wanted to go to it. It just had never worked out where I was able to get out there to do it. But yeah, that'd be a really good program to go to, especially, if you are just say if you're, in college or in high school or whatever and wanted to go into agronomy, it'd be a really good, kind of workshop to go to see if that's something that you're actually interested in doing. Kind of get some hands-on learning there, and then of course if you're obviously a producer, or just anybody that's interested in that, it's definitely a good opportunity to go and kind of learn the what to look for and that kind of things, different growth stages of stuff, like you said, all the things you mentioned there, a lot of good information that to learn for sure.
That, it's in particular the growth staging. I mean, I can't emphasize how important that is, from a, I know when we have to go out and look at stuff and we have to, if we're dealing with specialists that may be helping us out, one of the first things they're going to ask is what stage of growth is it? And so knowing what stages or how to recognize those stages is very important. Even go as far as, herbicide application, because there's certain stages that you can't apply herbicides after or before.
Right.
So, yeah, good things to learn there, or
Yeah.
refresh yourself on if you already do them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I it's the same way this year. I'm not gonna be able to make it, even though I'd love to go to that one. Just can't make it this year. I'll get out there one day.
I'm gonna try my best. I don't know. I'll have to see what the calendar looks like, but I'd love to try to go to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be good for sure. Of course, there's some other stuff, kind of swapping gears just a little bit, to kind of more horticulture related stuff. Over the past, I don't know, several weeks, I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of different questions about fruit trees. We've got several fruit tree growers here in our county. Some of them are commercial, some of them are, a lot of them are just homeowner, backyard growers. I actually went, I think last week, looked at a lady's peach trees in her orchard, and she had more than peach trees. She had peaches, apples, plums, cherries. She had the whole nine yards, really good variety. And so I helped her with that. But there is one in particular disease that folks need to be kind of looking out for this time of year, and that's fire blight. Basically, it's just a bacterial disease that occurs during the bloom stage of your apples, and so that's something that we need to kind of be aware of. And the cool thing about some of the stuff that our specialists do, we have a fire blight tracker. And so it's basically like a map that it's not really a tracker, it's a prediction model. And so there's a map that they update very frequently. I think it's every so many days. But you can go on to the fire blight disease prediction model and look at the state of Kentucky at the map, and it will tell you, if your county, it has all the counties broken down, separated, and it will tell you, if your county is at high risk of fire blight. And so that's really good information to know, if you are, especially if you're a commercial producer.
Looks like we're in a marginal risk, but I'm looking at the map right now. It looks like, is that Cumberland down there I see that appears to be in high risk?
Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
Yeah, Allen, Monroe, yeah, I'd be Cumberland right there, so.
Yep. So high risk in looks like as far as our kind of area would be Cumberland, Clinton County gets skipped, then you go to Wayne County. So yeah, those are the closest ones at high risk. All of pretty much the whole state, the whole central part of the state, central, west central kind of, is a marginal risk right now. And of course, like I say, that can definitely change. So that's just kind of something to be aware of. And as far as, dealing with these kind of diseases, whether it's fire blight or whether it's, any kind of, fruit rots or scabs or whatever, we can, kind of prevent those if we use the proper fungicides. And so we have some of our specialists, they put out a really good backyard apple pear disease pests and cultural practices calendar. So this is basically just a publication. It's called PPFS-FR-T-21. That's a kind of a long long identifier there, but it's
Hope you
really
can hit
good.
pause and replay
Right,
it.
yeah. PPFS-FR-T-21. I would just type in the Google backyard apple and pear disease calendar, and it should pop right up.
Right.
But this has a really good calendar as far as the timing of the year, when you should apply different pesticides. It goes all the way from the dormant season till after harvest. And that's what some people don't realize is whether it's apples, peaches, pears, whatever type of fruit tree it is, they need maintained year round as far as pesticide application. And of course, they need to be pruned annually as well. And that's something that a lot of folks don't realize. It's kind of funny because my mom actually last night, she messaged me. She's like, "I think I want to get some peach trees and put, in the yard." And I told her, I was like, "That's fine and dandy, but you're gonna have to, if you actually want peaches to grow, you're gonna take care of them and do all these things." And so, it's not just a matter of putting a tree in the ground and getting fruit off of it in 3 or 4 years. You gotta do some work to make sure that that tree grows healthy and it's pruned properly and all those kinds of things, because you're wasting your time, money, and effort, if you're just planting the tree and just letting it go. So I would definitely recommend, if you are interested in, fruit tree production, that kind of thing, to get some of these backyard pesticide guides and or calendars and kind of working with that. And it's a pretty easy calendar to read. So, like for instance, for example, the one that we're looking at here, so like February to early March, which is the dormant season of say apple trees. That's when you need to apply pesticides for fire blight, for fruit rots, scabs, insects, and mites. And then it also tells you like your cultural practices, what you need to do as far as like pruning. And then also it will give you like the chemical product that you need to use. So like in February, early March for, our backyard folks, applying copper is what you need to kind of shoot for there. That's going to help, with the prevention of, like I said, the fire blights, fruit rots, and all those things. And so like right now we're in April. So like mid-April to early May, which is kind of what the time period we're in right now, is the bloom period for which, this year I think everything kind of started to bloom a little early,
Oh, yeah.
especially the peach trees. But so just take for instance like apples, right now they're more bloom now than they were last year, but they're in that bloom period. So we're kind of looking at cedar rust, scab, and fire blight still. And so with the chemical management section on here, it tells you for cedar apple rust, you can apply mangelzeb or Immunox, and then for scab, Captan, Immunox, mangelzeb, or sulfur. So, it tells you exactly the bloom period, or the growth stage, you know, what your target is that, you know, that you might be seeing, and then also, you know, the chemical to apply to prevent that. And it's really easy. I mean, you know, if you just go by that, it's a good start anyway. There may be some other stuff that you see come up as well that you may need to use different products for, to take care of. But you know, that's a good thing, a good resource to utilize for your fruit trees.
Well, I agree that I know that's been helpful to me. I've looked at that quite often to, you know, making recommendations to people, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's not just, you know, diseases with fruit trees. It's a lot of insects, you know, that take a toll on them as well. And those start as early as March, you know,
Oh, yeah.
as far as the insects go. So and they go all the way till, you know, harvest. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on as far as the fruit trees goes for sure.
Good information.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that, of course, your county does this and ours does as well. Talk a little bit about the senior voucher program. Of course, ours starts the first week of May. I think, like you said, yours does. But inform folks on what our senior vouchers look like for our farmer market folks.
So if anybody's out there that isn't really aware of this program, it's called the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program. And so what that does is, of course, there are some requirements. One being that you have to be 60 years of age or older at the day of issuance. Like for instance, I had a question the other day. Somebody said, "Well, I don't turn 60 till, let's say, August." Well, my answer to them was, "You can't apply until that day." You know, and again, there's no guarantee that there's funds at that point in time. But so beginning in May, I know we're going to have two sign up days here at our office. But basically, if you're 60 years of age or older, you can come in, fill out an application. There is an income requirement as far as a maximum amount that your household receives. And of course, we have that, you know, qualification here at the office. We have that list here that what you have to be. But you can fill that application out, and then if you qualify, you get a card, and that card has $50 on it, or will have $50 on it, that allows you to go to the farmer's market and spend that $50. Now, you don't have to spend it all at one time. You can go five times and spend $10 each time. You know, that's really no requirement on that, but it has to be spent at a farmer's market. You can't go to the grocery store and use it. I don't think it even works at like roadside markets, such as, you know, the various farm markets we have along the road. It has to be a certified farm market, farmer's market, I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And like I said, our signups, I believe, are pretty much the same as yours. We will start with the first week of May doing that as well here at our office. I think there's a specific day that so our SNAP Ed senior NEP assistant, she's the one that kind of is over our senior vouchers here at our office. And there'll be certain days that she will have you know, a day where folks can come in and do. I don't have that date with me right now. We can probably have that for the next podcast. But yeah, that's a really good program. You know, it helps our senior folks, you know, with food as far as you know, because you know, sometimes with that. With that age group plus the income level of folks, that $50 may be, you know, the difference between them eating a meal and not, you know, or not, that week. And so that, you know, it's a really good program, that we, you know, that we offer our folks here. And, you know, I would definitely recommend if you are, you know, qualified for that program, to definitely go and sign up. I think that we have 110 cards that we give out here in Allen County. And like I said, you know, the card that you'll get a new card this year. So if you do have a card from previous year, that won't work. So you'll have to get a new one this time. Yeah, it's a good program. You know, like I said, definitely if you're interested in that, you know, be a good thing to do for sure.
Another thing to keep in mind is that for anybody that has got this program in the past, even though you got a card, say last year, the year prior, you still have to apply every year. I know that tends to be a little bit confusing sometimes, but just remember that you have to apply every year. You can't just, you don't get that card last year and it automatically be loaded this year. You have to reapply every year. And bear in mind too, you can't buy just anything you want with those cards. It has to be fresh fruits and vegetables. Can it be honey? Can you buy honey with it?
I don't think honey's on the list. I
Okay,
don't think so.
I know like your breads, your baked goods and stuff like that are commonly sold at farmers market. I know you can't purchase those. It has to be a fresh fruit or vegetable.
Yeah, and I could be wrong on the honey, but I think we had a discussion about that whenever we were talking about the program for this year. I don't think honey's on there, but that could not be correct. I'm not sure.
I'll have to look that up and I'll let you know at a later date.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah,
So
it's been a great program. I think we have a little over 200 cards I think we give away here. So
okay. Yeah, so
it's a great program for the well not only for the senior citizens, the people that qualify for these cards, but also for the farmers that grow the fruits and vegetables. I mean, it's money in their pocket.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps, like you just said, it helps more than just the folks that have getting the cards. It's kind of a economical impact, for our farmers. Puts money in their pockets, and it's always a good thing to see whenever you can bring folks together to buyers and sellers of goods.
That's right.
So it is spring, obviously. And for our cattle guys or livestock in general, there's some things that we can, talk about with that as far as grazing and all that kind of stuff. What kind of tips do you have for us for some of our livestock producers? We've kind of touched a lot of stuff today as far as we've been all over the board, so I think we're doing good.
Yeah, I think we've covered several acres today, but
Yeah.
some tips probably you need to consider. Grass is growing like crazy right now. I know I was out checking my cattle this morning and got to looking around. It's amazing how fast this stuff's growing. So if you practice rotational grazing, encourage you to move them pretty quick right now. Keep those seed heads to a minimum. Keep the grass clipped down, but don't overgraze. Just basically let them move through and clip the tops off the grass and then move to the next field. Move them. So during this time of year, when we're getting this spring flush of growth, you typically want to move the cattle fast, but then once the summer gets here, when that grass starts slowing down growth, then you kind of slow down the rotations. Kind of move them with the growth of the grass, but yeah, slow down the rotations when it slows down growth, and then basically allow more rest time, is what I'm trying to get at. But
Right.
also want to consider high mag mineral. Yeah, that's very important this time of year. Make sure you got a good quality, not just any high mag mineral, but make sure you got a good quality mineral that the cattle will consume to try to prevent grass tetany. But probably another thing I would need to mention is if you did do any frost seeding this year with clovers, likely those are coming up and growing pretty good. No, I rode over a field this morning, and I believe every seed I sowed come up twice. That clover was thick. So,
Yeah.
you need to graze those fields, but don't graze them too close. Let them just kind of nip the tops, flash graze them, so to speak. That way you don't just overwhelm that clover with a bunch of fescue, or orchard grass or whatever else you got in your pasture. But you want to give it some sunlight, let it allow to grow too. But the only way of doing that really is to let those cattle come in and clip them really good. So
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Have you seen any, which it's a little bit early for it to be blooming. What about the buttercup?
I've seen some. I actually saw some this morning.
But it bloomed out already?
Oh yeah,
Really?
starting to see some yellow.
Okay.
I saw it on the drive here this morning. It's peaking, perking up. So I mean,
Yep.
really and truthfully, we've talked about this before. I mean,
Yeah.
once you start seeing those yellow flowers, it's
Too
really
late.
too late to be spraying. But
Right.
it's not going to hurt anything if you do. But just It's pretty well done what it's going to do at this point in time.
Right. Well, and also too, a lot of our pastures that have buttercup in them, may have some actual, good forage like clover mixed in too. And so if you go and try to spray that when it's, when the buttercup's bloomed out, obviously your clover is coming out of dormancy, so you're gonna more than likely burn it pretty good too if you're trying to spray your 240 or whatever on your buttercup. That's why it's so important to spray that stuff as early as you can, in March, and even late February if you can, if you get some of those 50 degree days. So yeah, that's why it's really important to get ahead of that stuff. And a big part of the buttercup problem too is overgrazing. That's a big part of why we have so much buttercup as well. I would say, and I was talking to some of my cattle guys about this the other night. We had a cattle and board meeting, and everybody was talking about, how many cows they got and this and that. And we're talking about every one of them said that they know that they are overstocked. But they were saying that, sometimes whenever the price is low, they just can't help themselves but to go and buy more cows. And they, putting them on the same amount of acres, and that just don't work out, too well as far as, the health of your soil, the health of your forages, and that kind of stuff. And so that can start to really cause problems if you are overgrazing and overstocking.
Yeah, I'd say most everybody is probably overstocked.
Oh yeah, I'd say
I'm not gonna say
99% probably.
that just seems to be pretty common, but yeah.
Yeah.
But prices are good. I will say that. Prices are
Yeah.
really good.
Yeah, they are. They are. They it's gonna be interesting to see kind of, the as far as the market goes, how long it stays consistent, as far as where it's at now. And I think too, cattle numbers in general are down.
Right.
According to the last, kind of market reports that we've seen from our ag econ guys, this cattle numbers across the country are down. So, obviously you're gonna, it's one of those, supply and demand kind of things. So we'll kind of see, what happens with that. I don't expect that it stays where it's at right now for, a whole long time, but, what does that say?
Yeah, it. I tell you something that's crazy to me is these cull cow and cull bull prices. They are crazy right now, and I'm gonna encourage you. If you haven't done any culling in your cow herd and you've got animals that are less productive or open or whatever, take a hard look at that because I mean they're so high right now. It's just not. It's hard to pass that up.
Right.
Make some
Yeah.
good management decisions. And,
Yeah, I'm working with a producer right now that I've written a management plan for them. And I know them really well because they're related to me. But so I can be a little bit harsher on them.
That's right.
But we've written a a kind of a management plan and this and that. And one of the key things that that we're looking at is really getting into some culling because they've got some cattle that are way too old. They're not productive. There's 22 cows and only five calves are out there right now. That's not good.
No.
So, you got to take a step back, like I said, and kind of look and evaluate and see, where your money is, better spent or better saved or that kind of thing. And just make it, even though it may be a hard decision to make, if you got, had some cows that are, been there for on your place for, 7, 8, 9 years. Kind of hard to get rid of them sometimes because you can become attached to them, but sometimes you just got to do what's better for your pocket, in the bottom line.
That's right.
But another thing that I'm kind of, this is totally off topic from what we were just talking about, but I don't know about you, but I like going to, I've started to, I went to one a couple weeks ago, an auction. Kind of starting to get into to kind of auction season, farm auctions and just farm equipment auctions, that kind of stuff, and then just auctions in general, land sales and that kind of stuff. But we actually have a big auction over here this weekend, here in Allen County, and they've got like 1,300 items that
Oh,
they're
wow.
selling. Yeah, and it's all farm equipment. And so I thought about going to that and seeing what I can come up with.
There was a, I know there was a consignment, equipment consignment auction in an adjacent county last weekend over here, but then also in here in Hart County last weekend was a their annual Amish consignment auction, which was at the fairgrounds. And I drove out there Friday before the sale Saturday, and gosh, the amount of stuff they had out there.
Oh
It
yeah.
was crazy. That
Yep.
whole fairgrounds was full of stuff, but
Yep. Yeah, we have one of the biggest horse-drawn implement auctions over here in Allen County, like across the United States. It was 2 weeks ago, I think. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, and they have people come from all across the country to it. They usually have about 10,000 people come.
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's all horse-drawn equipment.
I didn't make it over here Saturday, but I did hear some reports of traffic issues around
Yeah.
the fairgrounds. I know people said that
Yeah, I would say so.
I met somebody that I think it was yesterday telling me that they were heading north on 31, and they said the southbound or south side of 31 was backed up from the fairgrounds to well up the road toward Mumfordville, like I think they even said close to Mumfordville. So, I mean, that's a couple miles.
Right,
I don't know if
yeah.
it's backed up that far or not, but if it was, that's a pretty good little backup.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. Well, I think we've pretty much covered a lot of stuff today.
Yeah, we'll say we missed our old buddy Kevin today. He couldn't be with us, but we missed his wisdom
I
being up
know.
here with us.
He's getting ready for retirement, I guess. And he's been being an electrician today, apparently, is what he said.
That's what it looks like. Problem solved, though. That's what he said. So,
I'm gonna text him right now, and I'm gonna ask him when he's gonna teach an electrician class. But anyways, yeah. But if anybody's got any questions about anything that we've talked about, definitely hit us up at any of our local extension offices. We've got a lot of programs coming up, field days, outside kind of stuff coming up. Just springtime is here. I love it. It's time to get outside and. Once it starts getting warm, everybody starts getting antsy about getting outside, getting their gardens going and planting stuff and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it
Well, I think we should mention, I know this is a long way off, but before we go, we probably need to mention this fall, our West 8 group, which is Hart, Barron, Monroe, Metcalf, and Allen, we're going to be doing a Master Gardener class at Barron County.
Yep.
And there's also going to be, we're also having a Master Cattleman's class this fall.
Yep.
So if you're interested in either one of those, there will be a registration fee, but you can call any of those offices to get registered for that. Again, that won't be till this fall, but I just want to go ahead and put that out there so people can be thinking about it. So,
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. You give us a call, we'll get you on the list and we'll get you enrolled.
that's right.
All right then. Well, we appreciate everybody listening in, and we'll catch you again on the next podcast.
Everybody have a good.
Thank you for listening to today's show of Digging Up Ag. We hope you join us back next time as we discuss various agriculture topics. Until then, please write a review and subscribe to our show on the podcast platform of your choice. We'll see you next time.